Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And welcome back. Hour number three here. And we start the 1 o'clock hour with a little thing we call Tell Me Something Good. You got something positive that happened to you you would like to share? I would like to hear it. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, there's a lot of positives that go on every single day, and those little things that make your life a little bit better, go ahead and tell me about it. Share it with us. You can even text it in, 314-436-7900. Got a couple of local stories here that I think play into it, and one of which I talked to Chris Raby about. Cardinals will be among the teams that will be honoring the victims of the high school shooting. So this is at KMOX.com down in Jupiter. When the Cardinals and Miami Marlins play for their first Grapefruit League game this Friday, which you'll hear on KMOX, both teams will have matching logos on their caps. A logo of the Stoneman Douglas High School, where 17 people were shot and killed. Marlins first announced that it would be wearing the special caps to honor the school. And I think we have the Cardinals being one of 20, I think, committed to this. It was one of the last ones. Yeah, so far, the Major League Baseball's official cap provider, New Era, will be making special hats for more than 20 of the league's 30 teams, a source told the Herald down there. And Friday's game will be at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium, 12:15 Central Time. Home of the Cardinals and Marlins spring training complex is just about an hour south of Parkland, Florida, where the shooting took place. So we heard from Chris Raby when doing an interview. Of course, it's on the players' minds. People are asking the players about them. And people are talking about it being so close. You have the president and politicians and all kinds of people down there trying to enact some change. And that's what's happening next. It's the Major League Baseball is going to do something to help honor these players. So, and we'll have the students of that school and show their support for them. I think that's a good thing. I'm glad the Cardinals will be participating in that. Here's another one. St. Louis native Sterling Brown is known for making us cry. This is another story from KMOX.com. Known for making you cry in the drama This Is Us, but it could soon be shedding tears of laughter. St. Louis native getting a shot at Saturday Night Live on March 10th with musical guest James Bay. Never heard of James Bay. Maybe I've heard his song, but I don't know who that is. But the musical guests and him, it looks like they'll have a good time. They announced at least a couple of different people that'll be starting the year off at SNL. You know, I don't watch it. I just got so tired of SNL, but March 3rd will be Charles Barkley with guest the Migos. Then March 10th, Sterling Brown with James Bay. And then Bill Hader on March 17th with Arcade Fire. That's what SNL tweeted out earlier today. Well, I guess earlier yesterday. It's past midnight now. But they return with Charles Barkley, someone I like. I think he's been very funny in the past. You know, it's I just wish SNL wasn't spoiled for me. The whole idea of SNL, it seems like it just run its course, and I just have not had any fun with it. So, you know, unfortunately, I won't watch it. And there might be some clips online. I'll check it out just because of his ties to St. Louis. And This Is Us has been wildly popular. The show has just completely been doing awesome, not only in the ratings, but the fanfare. And I know my wife loves it. She watches it. She is into it. She can't get enough of it. Every time it's on, she wants to watch it. If it's not on that night or she gets busy or whatever with the kid, and then it's the first thing in the morning she wants to watch it. She loves that show so much. I don't watch it. I've only seen a few episodes in the background, but I can see why. It's totally addicting. Some pretty good acting, nice storylines, you know, and then complex characters add to it all. So you know, it's hitting TV at the right time. Some real topics they're bringing up. Here's one more great story I found on KMOX.com. Look at these. All these positive stories we're finding right here on KMOX.com. Two St. Louis restaurants have been named to Yelp's list of top 100 places to eat for 2018. It's kind of cool. You can just drive down and check them out. The highest on the list, Blue City Deli, has now been named 2 years in a row, placed in the top 10, and Bogart's Smokehouse ranked 52nd out of 100. According to Yelp, The team compared businesses from across the country using a ranking that considered ratings and numbers of reviews, while also accounting for quality and popularity to not only reveal what's top rated, but also what's most popular across the country. So, like, California had a one up top, the TKB Bakery and Deli. There was one in Phoenix, then Atlanta, another one in California, one in Florida, a couple in Florida, Hawaii, Florida, Massachusetts, and then there you go, Blue City Deli, St. Louis. I think that's so cool. I like seeing those local restaurants. It's too bad Joyous didn't get in there. I'm a big fan. They always get those great recognitions for their food, and I can't wait till they open up in Creve Coeur, which will be pretty soon. But big news for the food scene for Yelp. But, you know, then again, I don't know what their methodology is. Yelp is not the most reliable. Could be easily frauded or whatever. But I will admit that I do look at Yelp reviews when I do decide on a restaurant. So if I'm trying to decide where to go, I'll hop on and I'll look at reviews. I try to filter out the ones that are obviously, you know, someone having a bad day. And then I try to look at the honest reviews. And, you know, for the most part, it helps me make a decision. I'm not too picky. So I don't have a ton of, like, I'll read that and I'll say, oh, only 3 stars. Can't eat there. No, I'm not that picky. You know, as long as I read it and they say there wasn't any problems or, you know, whatever. I feel like I'm willing to give restaurants lots of shots. So that kind of adds it to the list. I have tried a Blue City Deli sandwich. Producer Mike Anderson brought one in once. It was awesome. It was great. Delicious. Loved it all. So is there something good that happened to you? Are there any good stories you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Keeping an eye out, too, on some of the latest traffic that's going on in the area. Yeah, listen, the weather around St. Louis, not good right now. I think Fox 2 is reporting some ice even south of the city. Is that right? South? Yeah, way south or southwest? Way west. Okay, west of the city. So we're starting to see some of this winter storm coming through here. Maybe it's not a winter storm, but a bit of freezing drizzle with the road being as warm as it is, but the temperature's dropping below freezing tonight. We'll see a low of 28. It may freeze on surfaces before ending or may not, but still be very careful when you're out. We're seeing a lot of cars get into some problem areas, and there were accidents, a lot of them being reported by MoDOT St. Louis, you know, the traffic authority in this area. MoDOT St. Louis reporting some things. And I'm sure tomorrow morning you're going to want to tune into Roger Brand. You're going to want to hear those traffic reports all through Total Information AM because he'll bring you the absolute latest as he has all the graphs up. I can't look at the graphs from in here, but I know the elaborate setup he has. So something you're not going to want to skip in your drive tomorrow morning, whatever it may be. All right, also coming up, I do want to talk about some of the regional food things. I found out that some place I like to eat, but my wife hates, maybe one of the healthiest fast food options, which I was shocked by. And then some of the regional differences that people have. Like, you know, you might be up in Chicago and you think it's sacrilegious to put ketchup on a hot dog. I was looking at some of those oddities. And also celebrities and their political viewpoints. Some interesting things with that because a big-time celebrity apparently taking a break to look at more of an idea of changing political viewpoints. And we're also looking at broke millennials and rich billionaires, you know, two things that don't have much in common coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Not going to believe this. You know, normally when we decide to go out to eat, like my wife and kid, we try to go out to eat maybe, I don't know, once every other week. We don't go out a lot as a family. But when we do, we try to find some places, of course, that are kid-friendly. I have a 3-year-old and you don't know exactly what mood he's going to be when you get to a restaurant and they find out they don't have mac and cheese. So yeah, it's limited, but we do like to eat out as a family. When it comes to fast food, there's a couple of places we love. If they have a play place, Chick-fil-A is like number one. It's so good. So we love places like that, even the McDonald's play places. And we'll check out different ones because, you know, it's a good distraction for him to go out and run down the slides or whatever. And it gives us a chance to sit down and just watch him play. But I found that according to Delish.com, there is something that I never would have anticipated. When you start a new diet, it may sound like a good idea to designate your favorite drive-through restaurants as off-limits, but this year you might want to think twice. One popular chain has completely restructured its menu and is now offering more wholesome options. And you want to know what that option is? The restaurant is Taco Bell. Taco Bell has now become the healthiest fast food chain in America. I had no idea. Whenever we talk about a place to eat, my wife loves Mexican food. I do not like it. So she always wants to go to a Mexican restaurant. I always want to go anywhere else. And I'll say, you know what? The closest I'll get to that is Taco Bell. She says it doesn't count. You know what? I think Taco Bell totally counts. But you may not know this, but Taco Bell has an official dietitian. Their product manager, Missy Nelson, played a huge role in the improvements on their menu. She joined the company. It focuses on serving on all natural ingredients, switched over to cage-free eggs, 15% reduction in sodium across the menus, and some other things that they're doing. The best part of all of this, Taco Bell has been very low-key about the offerings, just quietly releasing the new menu so everyone who wants to make the healthy choice can do so. So they're not making the push to say they're a healthy alternative, right? So remember when Subway did that? They're like, oh, yeah, eat fresh. You know, get all the fresh ingredients. It's so much better to do that than it is to go to a burger place or a taco place or whatever. So that was part of their giant marketing. They had Jared go out there and walking around, shaking hands, kissing babies, and smelling like subs everywhere he went. And, you know, look at me. I lost all this weight. You know, I exercised, but it was because I was eating healthier. But, you know, Taco Bell didn't take that approach. So, I don't know. Way to go. If you're on a diet, consider Taco Bell. Apparently too delish. Now, when I read this, I thought, could this be an ad? Is this one of those crazy internet website ads that are very elaborate and I can't tell the difference? I don't think it is. But I'll tell you, whenever I go to Taco Bell, I am a straight crunchy taco kind of guy. I'll just go and I'll order like 4 crunchy tacos and that's all I need. My wife, whenever we go out somewhere to a fast food place, she's always getting the meal. She's always getting a drink and the sides and all these things. It's like all I do is I order from the dollar menu. I'm like a dollar menu guy. Here's another story I found, and you're not going to think that, you know, it's kind of related. So STL today. So St. Louis, the Dispatch's website. We know that St. Louis is famous for the gooey butter cake, toasted ravioli, and more, but different U.S. regions are quite particular when it comes to their food, so they decided to do a food thing. You know, these newspapers, they divulge in these type of list things. And I'm not saying that radio stations are immune from it, but it's still kind of interesting to read these. Now, since I've moved here to St. Louis, I have yet to try a gooey butter cake. I haven't done it yet. I've had toasted ravioli, but no gooey butter cake. I've had Emos more times than I can count. But gooey butter cake, man, it just, for some reason, it just did not appeal to me. The idea of it, looking at it, it didn't scream at me like, I have to go order this. Don't give me that look. Producer Ben's looking at me right now, and he's saying, how dare you insult who? Deerbergs? Do they have a pretty good, they have a mean one? Oh, they invented it. Okay. I know, like, you're not going to like what I'm about to say. But when we were in Indiana and our friends found out we were moving to St. Louis, one of my wife's friends made us a gooey butter cake because she used to live in this area. I didn't even try it then because I didn't like the way it looked. So I had it delivered to my house standing in front of me. I could have been hungry and I still wouldn't have had it. So maybe it's like the green eggs and ham effect. Now I read that Dr. Seuss book to my kid. I will not eat it, Sam, I am. I will not eat green eggs and ham. I feel like that might be my green eggs and ham. I just got to try it and be converted. But part of the Post-Dispatch, they had that list. Here are some famous foods from different areas that maybe you don't understand. If they don't understand us, you don't understand them. Chili with noodles in Ohio. They call it Cincinnati chili. They have this very famous chain down there, Skyline Chili. Do they have Skyline Chilies in St. Louis? No, they don't. Yeah, Skyline, I think, is a little overrated. People go crazy for it, and when they do go crazy for it, it's kind of like the cult following, like White Castle has a cult following. Skyline Chili has the same thing. Yeah, I like chili. You know, when you go down to, like, the hockey games in Columbus, or if you go to a ball game in Cincinnati down for the Reds or whatever it is, they always have Skyline Chili inside the stadium. It's like that regional favorite. They put it on top of the hot dogs or whatever it is. I like Coney dogs, but I'll eat them, but it's the thing is, it's not like I'll go take a ride to Cincinnati because I'm craving it so bad that I have to do it. I have drove an hour for White Castle because I wanted it so bad. I've never drove that long for the Skyline Chili or whatever, but chili with noodles, that's an Ohio thing. No bean in chili, that's a Texas thing. Chili was born and bred in San Antonio, and anyone who studies the history of the dish will tell you that putting beans in your chili is just plain wrong. I like a good kidney bean in my chili. You can put beans. I like it. It's a good filler. When I was used to make chili in college, again, this is back before, this is back when I was drinking. So I haven't had alcohol in a long time. I don't drink anymore. But I used to, I'm trying to think. It was the recipe I used in chili. So you would get cans of tomato sauce, tomato paste, and stewed tomatoes. Not potato, I said tomato. Yeah, tomato sauce, tomato paste, stewed tomatoes. You put it all in there. I would, from the night before, I would take the seasoning packets from ramen noodles, or you would go get like chicken seasoning, like those little cubes of chicken seasoning, and you would put them in the water, and then you would soak overnight the kidney beans to get them nice and soft. Okay, you put them in there. You do ground beef, okay? Drain the grease out. You put the ground beef inside the chili. And then later when you're cooking the chili, you add the grease back in. You don't do it right off the bat, but you add it back in later. You would put powdered, brown sugar. And at the very end, you would add light beer. And that was like some of the best chili I've ever had. That was kind of my like college hobo chili. So beans were essential to that. Like beans help make it. You can put other, you know, you can chop up peppers and you can do all the other vegetables you want to put in. Sometimes I'd put mushrooms and onions and all kinds of stuff in there, you know, but that was the base of it. And I love that sort of thing. I can't imagine making chili without beans anymore. Sometimes you get those chilies that it's almost like it's a sauce. There's almost like no texture to it. It's almost all liquid. I don't like those sort of things. One thing I do like in the East Carolinas, the vinegar-based barbecue sauce. Love the vinegar-based. New England and the Midwest has cheddar cheese on their apple pie. That sounds gross. No, that is weird. Producer Ben's like raising his hand right now. No, that sounds gross. Don't want any. It's so like, why would anyone do that? I like cheese on things, but why would people do that? In New England, Fluffernutters is a combination of the regional acquired taste in the Fluffernutter, a sandwich made with peanut butter and marshmallow fluff. It could probably be pretty good. Disco fries in New Jersey. Canadian dish might be all the rage and hit menus around the country, but New Jersey has strayed a bit far under the radar. The diner food, it says, named to appeal to the late-night party crowd, the disco fries, consist of French fries smothered in brown gravy and melty cheese. Oh, man. As unhealthy as I eat most of the time, I can see myself eating that and immediately. Like, if I were to try to run a mile, it would be about a 60-minute mile. Like, I don't know how anyone could eat something like that. Fry sauce, a rosy mixture of ketchup and mayonnaise, is especially beloved in Utah, where it's considered a staple of Western American comfort food. Clam chowder in Rhode Island. Spam sushi in Hawaii. Spam sushi? American military apparently like that sort of thing. I like spam. I don't like sushi, so... Countless chicken pot or crustless chicken pot pie in Pennsylvania. Is that just like you take the inside of a pot pie and then you just eat it without the crust? Deep dish, of course, in Chicago. No ketchup on hot dogs in Chicago. I think that's a silly thing. I do like deep dish, but it's like I don't feel like I'm missing out. I just like pizza in general. Cheese whiz on cheesesteak. I feel like that's the only way to eat a cheesesteak. You got to put the cheese whiz on. You can put regular cheese or whatever when you go to places or like you go to the mall and there's that Philly cheesesteak place that everyone likes. But no, Cheese Whiz is the official way to go by far. Turtle soup in New Orleans, no thanks. Don't even like the name. I don't even have to read the rest of it. It's a popular delicacy, caused turtle populations to dwindle. I guess it really is turtles. I thought maybe there's a shot. The turtle soup has something to do with the little caramel and pecan treat. Rocky Mountain oysters in Colorado, biscuits and gravy in the South, pretzel salad in Delaware, boiled peanuts in the South, and trotters in the South. Trotters are pig's feet consumed around the world. No thanks. Don't want any of those things. Probably the best sandwich I've ever had, there was a little shop I used to go to, and I used to eat there all the time. My guy that used to pickle things in Fort Wayne, oh my goodness, I would do anything to get that sandwich somewhere here, and I think Lion's Choice has something close to it. But he had a thing called the Macedonian Special, and the fact that it's not a regional favorite just boggles my mind. It was the best sandwich I still to this day have ever had. He takes like a onion bun, and he makes his own sausage patty, so he's got a special technique he uses for that. And then he puts Swiss cheese and pickled cabbage on the sandwich, and he pickles the cabbage by himself. He has his own methods of doing these things. His family came here from, where was it from? Like the Macedonian special, so Macedonia. And it was a special family technique they brought here from the country. And I mean, I've never had better pickled eggs or anything pickled in my life. That sandwich I would crave. I would eat it like every Friday. I would go to this place. It was, and the place was a dive. Like, I would never take my wife there, period. It was like sketchy. But man, was the food good. Never use the bathroom. It was always dirty. You just go there, eat, and you leave. But the sandwich made up for all of it. It was so good. So that was kind of interesting. That was on the Post-Dispatch's website. You know, I do want to talk about a couple of other things. Like, you know, there's some audio that has been released regarding a new UFO sighting. Ooh, I have that audio. Maybe I'll play that. You like your paranormal stuff. We'll get to that. And Jennifer Lawrence taking a break on politics. Do you even listen to celebrities' viewpoints anymore? Do they even affect you? I mean, they shouldn't. Yeah, don't listen to celebrities. But I'll play what she's going to be doing in the next year, because apparently she's going to be making big social pushes, organizing, ground roots, all the buzzwords you normally hear on Overnight America, KMOX. Where do you want to start? UFOs or suspected lizard people that are posing as celebrities here? How deep does the conspiracy go? You know, there was a report from a website called The Drive. I didn't really know much about the website. It looks like a pretty legitimate site, but either way, it looks like they put up some requests from the government in order to get this audio. Last November, there's a website called The War Zone posted an exclusive story detailing an incident involving an unidentified aircraft that was in the skies in the Pacific Northwest early October 25th, 2017. So apparently they put in the request, the Freedom of Information request, in order to get the audio of the people that were working that night to hear what they were saying when they saw this. And through the Freedom of Information Act, they have released that. I have the audio here if you want to hear it. So you want me to play it real quick? You want to hear what people on the ground and people in the sky were saying when they saw this unidentified object? Here, take a listen.
You know, that target south of the boundary there, that 0027 code moving very fast at 37,000?
Oh, look at that thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Huh. And you don't have anything on him, huh?
I got nothing.
Well, we'll look.
Where this guy ended up, we don't know.
Oh, so we still don't know.
No. The fighters scrambled. They went out looking around a little bit, but we lost anybody having sight of the aircraft.
Wow, that's weird.
It's really weird, yeah.
So they put some music. They did one of those videos. Those websites that do those videos where they show like a bunch of photos, they put some music over it. And then they have some text that scroll up on the screen. You know, it's kind of like they don't want to pay someone to actually do a video or anchor it, so they do one of these things. It's popular online. One of the strategies, there's a reason why people do that, in case you're wondering, because when they post these videos on Facebook, I think they're automatically muted, so they hope that you will see something and you'll read the text and you'll keep watching it. Because if you like, you scroll down and this thing starts automatically playing and there's some text for you to read, there's a better chance for you to stop and read it. And if it's something you're interested in, maybe watching the full video. So, I get why websites do that, but man, I tried to find this raw audio and I couldn't find it. But they said, fast forward 3 months later. So this happened in October of 2017. Now we have so much more evidence that adds incredible depth and color to the original report in the limited radio recordings we originally had to go off of. So via their Freedom of Information Act request, this is from a website called The Drive that you just heard the audio from too. They received hours of audio, all the unique elements that add to the story, and they've done is packaged the audio as well as radar data provided into four separate videos. They'll highlight some of their breakaways in the upcoming article I think they're talking about. The first video includes audio with the initial spotting of the object as it ripped its way across Northern California at high speed. Then it took a turn north and merged with nearby air traffic and disappeared from radar. Ooh. I know there's people listening right now that may have seen some of these unexplained things. I like to listen to these stories. I don't believe that I've ever seen anything paranormal or a UFO. I really don't think I've seen any of it. I think anything I have seen, I've just dismissed as, you know, unexplainable, but not like aliens from another planet. I mean, if you can look at UFOs unidentified, so it would, I guess, be categorized that way. But when I talk about it, I mean like ET, phone home stuff, you know, people from outside of this planet or aliens in that sense. The audio in the Oakland Center controller notes that in his boundary, it seemed that the aircraft's first appearance officially occurred near the border of the Oakland Center Sector 31 and Seattle Center Sector 13 or 14, very fast at about 37,000 feet when it was first detected. And they show some maps in here, too. It looks pretty credible the way they put all these reports together. I don't know. I know that the government does look into these. I know that we know that back when Harry Reid was serving and he commissioned, spent all that money to look into a video that was put through. And then ultimately, who knows how much money went to these billionaires. You know, if you missed my interview with Dave Scott from a couple of nights ago, just from last week, go to it and listen to that interview. He breaks down how the United States government has given money to these third-party people in order to compile reports from them for people that are turning in these UFO sightings. It's kind of fascinating. Go back just to KMOX.com and the podcast section. But you never know. I mean, there's other data from these radars that have synced to the recordings, and it's interesting to hear these reporters or people that work on these things day in and day out. If you're sitting at a control center and one of these things flies by and you've never seen anything like that before, yeah, you'd be a little amazed, especially if you're experienced at seeing these things, if it looks out of the ordinary. Finally, they had one of the most interesting evidence in the video. It contains a call made by, after the incident occurred, Seattle's center manager in the charge for the operation tries to figure out what exactly happened. First, we hear the big question, who requested the scramble, as according to the call, it had come from an FAA headquarters, apparently. It's pretty detailed in the way they look at these reports. I unfortunately just don't believe it. And I think it can be explained. It's just where there's no way we're going to be able to because of the security reason. It's going to be very difficult for, you know, the government to come out and admit anything if it's a part of a secret program, or let alone another government secret program that happened to be running their equipment here that maybe high military ranking people would know about. But unfortunately, you're not going to know about it in the news because, you know, high ranking military secrets don't necessarily get leaked all the time. You know, we are a leak happy society, but still. What about these celebrities that keep going out and they're like, I still think some of these celebrities may be aliens. People like to talk about the lizard people. You know, I haven't actually talked to someone that believes in the lizard people theory. I wonder if that theory is just something that was made up by internet trolls. They talk about the Illuminati, which, you know, there's a chance that's true, but I don't believe it. But the lizard people theory is that there's actually like lizard people aliens that take the form of humans and then they try to control societies. I would love to talk to someone that's a lizard person, like 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I think there's a chance some celebrities are lizard people. Do you think Jennifer Lawrence or maybe George Clooney are lizard people? So Jennifer Lawrence is going to be taking a break from acting to fix our democracy. Oh boy, she's got it all figured out. You know, there was a, there was an actual Simpsons episode, one of the Tree Houses of Horrors, where I think it was the aliens came down and they took the form of Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. This is back in the 90s election. And then they ran. And next thing you know, they show themselves to be aliens and they say, well, great, we'll just vote for a third party person. And the aliens say, go ahead, throw your vote away. And you show Ross Perot out in the crowd punching his hat. But ultimately, the American people voted an alien. Big Al. Hey, Big Al, what's going on? Oh, hold on a second. There we go. Big Al, what's going on?
Push the button. I know it's getting late, but you got to push the button for me.
The screen didn't react all that fast, or it wasn't me reacting.
I got up. My foot's hurting. I'm probably going to have to have surgery. I had a roll, and I'm listening to you, and I said, oh, no, I got to call into this. First of all, my F-15 was flying up there, and he passed him like he's sitting still. So I can tell you firsthand, there was nothing that we made on this earth from the Defense Department that was capable of doing that. And yeah. I've had secret clearances all the way to the top. And I can tell you right now, that wasn't anything we have, because if we had that, we would have seen it before now. And the Russians and the Chinese would have been, oh my gosh, we're behind. We've stolen their technology, but we didn't get a hold of this one. But okay. I can tell you right now, my man, there's no way we made that thing.
So you're saying when you hear these reports and the people that have seen it in person or maybe the videos, it adds some, you have some knowledge in the background to know that there's something to that.
Yes, sir. The F-15, the published speed is classified. But if you look up the F-15 Eagle, it'll tell you it's Mach 1 point whatever.
Yeah.
But when it passed airlines and they're saying it's up here, no, it's down here, oh, it's over here. That's not anything we've ever made, because I worked on the Harrier program, and that's the jump jet.
Yeah.
And it's really, really slow. It'll fly about maybe 600 miles an hour.
Uh-huh. Do you,
there's no way that you're in the air doing that. Go ahead.
Do you believe in aliens?
Yeah, because I got a beagle looking at me right now that wants my donut, and he's giving me the eagle deal look. But yeah, I kind of really do, and I can't explain it. But I'm a religious man too, so I have an issue with that. But there's just too much going on right now to say that it's not true. So. Whoever they are, hopefully they're friendly. Because if they're not and they got that technology, there's not much we can do.
No, we would be done. If they came here, I don't see why they would. Either they treat us as pets or they wipe us out. I think those are the two possibilities. So we're in trouble either way.
Some people think that they're watching over us and making sure that we don't kill each other like North Korea and Russia or whatever else.
They intervene. Out of curiosity, Big Al, what are your religious concerns with aliens?
I have an issue with it. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus, and maybe he's sending them as angels. Who knows? But there's a lot of stuff we can't explain. But my atheist friends will tell me, they'll be like, you know what? You're so stupid. And I'm like, let me ask you a question. If I'm right, which I am, okay, then there's a possibility, right? But if you're right, we all go to dirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. It's called faith.
You know, Big Al, I've had my own religious concerns when it comes to aliens, and I've thought about this, and I haven't really got an answer. I'll just kind of tell you what the way I cycle through this in my mind. I think about I am a Christian. I believe the Bible is true. And I think to myself, if there were other planets, or let's say there were other aliens that were able to reach us here. So if the Bible is true to us, if there was other beings out there, I would have to assume it was true to them, but they wouldn't be, would they have the same thing we had? But then again, they wouldn't have had a Jesus if there was just here on Earth. So then I think to myself, you know, if they didn't have that, then the Bible wouldn't be for everyone, which is a huge concern for me. And then I also think, like, maybe it's just a deal where it's true for us on Earth, and there's zero way for us to communicate with anyone else. They would have their own thing that's true to them. That way, there's no cross-contamination. Thus, as far as we know, there won't be any other aliens out there. So I
will tell you one more thing, though, and I totally agree with you. That was not Bob Dole. That was actually Hillary.
Okay.
Bill and Hillary. God intervened in this election, because if not, we'd all been on the crooked road to hell, and the Democrats, you can hate me all you want, but I'm sorry.
Thanks, Big Al. Always good to hear from you.
I'm going back to bed, my man.
All right, you got it. Wow, taking care of that foot. Well, I just learned something new. People that have worked on these and knows the capabilities of the United States government, when they see something like this that shocks even them, you know there might be something to it. Yeah, like I said, I got my own personal things that I have a difficult time getting past when it comes to understanding the religious view on aliens. Yeah, I still haven't had those questions answered. Maybe one day I will. Maybe we'll have to bring a guest on. I can talk to him about it. What did someone tell me? Back in the day, they used to bring on KMOX. I forgot what radio program it was, but they would bring a priest, a rabbi, and like a pastor or something like, and they would all do a discussion. What radio program was that? Do you remember? I don't know. I don't think it was Mark Reardon. I think it was back way before even Charlie's time. Yeah, it does sound like a start. So earlier today, I was at Johnny Rabbit's presentation at the History Museum, and that's one of the things they talked about. This would have to be in like the 40s, 50s area. Maybe I'll try to find that information. I'll have to message Johnny Rabbit, see if he can send that over to me. All right, so coming up, the idea that celebrities are going to be giving you their points of view and you're going to blindly follow them. I think those days are over. But Jennifer Lawrence not giving up on that. And George Clooney may be signaling an alliance with Oprah. Wouldn't that be crazy? It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight continues. I saw this story, I think from Entertainment Tonight, because they did a sit-down interview with Jennifer Lawrence and was talking about some of her future plans. She's out there trying to push a film she has that's out right now. You know, she's from The Hunger Games. She was kind of a breakout star. But one of the big movies that she's now trying to push is called Red Sparrow. 27 years old, in the middle of a press tour, said she's going to take a break from acting. Here's what she said to Entertainment Tonight.
What is up next for you guys?
I'm going to take the next year off. I'm going to be working with this organization I'm a part of, Represent Us.
What is that?
It's just trying to get, you know, young people engaged politically, you know, on a local level. Awesome. It doesn't have anything to do with partisan. It's just anti-corruption and stuff, trying to pass state-by-state laws that can help prevent corruption, fix our democracy. Yes. And then I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing next. Maybe if this has a second one.
Hopefully it's a second win. Okay. So that's apparently what she's going to be doing, taking a break from acting so she can go out and do this sort of thing. So getting on to the grassroots, getting the kids out there to be politically active. Okay. I mean, yeah, you can do that. I mean, there's probably other things you could be doing that would be, you know, it's like when someone says they're going to join the Peace Corps for a year or something, you're like, that's cool. You know, I would feel like if you were to sit down and actually have a conversation, something where you can actually ask her questions, like, what do you believe on certain things? She sounded like she was a little still trying to figure it out mode, which is okay. I mean, she probably doesn't know the executive order of whatever this organization is. She just knows she has a cause that she wants to stick to. But she says it has nothing to do with partisan politics, but you better believe it probably does. I'm very skeptical there. But either way, and Lawrence is not someone that likes President Trump. So, of course, it doesn't have to do, of course, it has to do with partisan politics. You know, George Clooney is signaling that him and his wife may be on board the Oprah train. Yeah. George Clooney continues his charitable giving, now $500,000 for the March of Our Lives. Him and his wife make an appearance at the gun control rally. Clooney is a supporter of civil rights in places like Sudan. With the still going Not On Our Watch, they are still giving hundreds of thousands of dollars there to protect South Sudan. But they may signal a new political move, because now this whatever is going to be happening in March in Washington, D.C., it looks like he's going to be joining them along with Oprah. And Oprah just tweeted that she will join Clooney in their donation. So everyone's talking Oprah. 2020, is she going to run up against President Trump? What's going to happen? Is it possible that Clooney and Oprah get together in the celebrity mega showdown with Donald Trump? We know that President Trump at this point is encouraging Oprah to run, which could be a mistake. You know why? Because Hillary was encouraging Donald Trump to run. Yes, we have found out, thanks to WikiLeaks, that their strategy was Donald Trump is such a terrible candidate. There is no way Hillary could lose to him. Thus, we need to start strategizing ways we can make sure Donald Trump is the candidate for the Republicans, because that would doom the Republicans. You know, that didn't really work out for Hillary at all. And there's a strategy for that, and it was terribly executed. Maybe totally underestimating how disliked and how terrible the Clintons really were. So I would be a little concerned, mostly if you were President Trump, in saying that, you know, our best strategy is to try to encourage Oprah to run, try to disrupt the Democrat Party. Who knows? An Oprah, George Clooney, I don't know. Who does that appeal to? Like, if you're someone that's seriously watching things, and I have no idea what any of those people are on their policies. All I do know is that they do not like any Republican policy. So are they the anti-Republican? Is that all they're trying to run on? Is that their platform? If that's the case, would it work? Probably not. Are they seriously going to run? Probably not either. But then again, the bench right now for the Democrat Party is so depleted, it seems like they'll just grab anyone that'll be interested. Coming up, update from Chris Raby. He's down in Florida. Cardinals update, too. Overnight America, KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.